Welcome to the Atlantic City Story. I'm Nicholas Huba. Again, with me in some undisclosed location. I think it's a bunker out in Maze Landing somewhere, is Dave Danzis. Dave, thanks for joining us.
What's happening, Nick?
No one can see your hand movements when we're on a podcast. So today, kind of, we're going about our business this morning, and another bomb drops from the sky. But this one, not unexpected, but kind of interesting in the timing of it.
Yeah. I mean, the timing certainly makes it seem as if the sale of Bally's this morning to a Rhode Island-based gaming company called Twin River, if it had anything to do with, you know, the current casino shutdowns as a result of the coronavirus, and it doesn't. You know, like you said, this wasn't unexpected, and this is one of those instances where a lot of industry watchers and experts were really right on, right? Because we all kind of put about scenarios when the merger of Eldorado Resorts, which is the parent company of Tropicana Atlantic City, and Caesars Entertainment Corporation, which owned Bally's, Caesars, and Harrah's, was announced. We said, you know, in order for this to get approved in New Jersey, there's a likelihood that one of these properties is going to have to get sold off. And if you were to choose one of the four, Bally's kind of seemed like the logical choice, right? And then we said, well, what happens with the things that do work inside of Bally's, right? Doesn't Caesars want to hold on to those? And we were talking about the sports book, which is the largest in the city, and it's really popular Wild Wild West casino concept. I mean, that's one of the few bright spots for millennial-driven consumers in Atlantic City. I mean, that place is always busy with a younger demographic on Thursday, Fridays, and Saturday nights, right? So Caesars was able to hold on to those two things and then sell off Bally's and essentially the Dennis Tower and the hotel and the gambling floor to Twin River.
I think this is kind of a win for the industry in a lot of ways in the city. You know, there had been talk like, you know, Bally's possibly would just go away, and now they're bringing somebody back in, which I think is actually a good thing for the employment and for the city. You don't have that stigma of closing another casino.
Right. And you know, we talked to one of our experts today, and Dan Hennigan. He's a former press casino reporter. He was the public information officer for the State Gaming Regulatory Authority for 20 years. I mean, he's a guy who knows this stuff inside and out. And he pointed out to me, he said, you know, this certainly improves the odds that not only the deal will get improved, that it'll get approved, but it also adds a new player to the market, right? Twin River doesn't have a presence in Atlantic City. They operate casinos in Colorado and Rhode Island and Missouri and one other place that's escaping me at the moment. But, I mean, they're not a regional competitor. And now
Shreveport.
All of a sudden, what's that?
Shreveport.
There you go. Thank you, sir. So they enter this you know, competitive Atlantic City market. But, listen, competition, you know, is good for a market like Atlantic City. So the more people, the more players, the more people on the chessboard, is just a better thing for the industry as a whole.
It is good, but also, can they compete in this market?
Ah,
you know, like this is like the whole, like it's easy to be like a small fish in the casino industry and own a couple of properties. Now you're going against Eldorado, MGM, Hard Rock, you know, well, Mohegan Sun with Resort. Maybe I'm being ridiculous here, but.
Well, can I ask you a question?
No.
didn't you think the same thing when Eldorado was announced as the owner of Tropicana?
But I think Eldorado has more not capital, but a bigger player nationally.
But still a relative unknown, particularly in the East Coast market. I mean, there obviously people knew who they were and heard of them, but I think in terms of sort of having that large following and a big cachet maybe in the gaming world, some people were like, wow, that's almost like the minnow swallowing the whale, right? And Eldorado's been able to not only hold their own operating Tropicana in Atlantic City, but, you know, now they're part of this larger merger that'll create the largest gaming company in the United States if it goes through.
I guess, but I see that as a combination more than it's a merger. This is just an outright purchase, you know, and I wonder what the pocketbooks are like there. Because let's be honest, I think Bally's needs a little work in places. You know, you're taking out two of the more popular things in there, you know, and they're not yours. Like,
I mean, we talked about this on one of our previous podcasts about, you know, when Tony Arrodio made some comments about Atlantic City. I mean, he admitted that the properties in the city had been underperforming. And you and I both sort of noticed the omission of Bally's when he was talking about capital improvements to Caesars properties in Atlantic City. I mean, he didn't mention Bally's at all. And you and I both noticed that when we listened to it. So, you know, there, it's no secret that Bally's needs some love, and we'll see if, you know, Twin River's the company to do that.
Now, they have to get licensed, correct, and they have to go through the regulatory process. Correct. Doesn't seem like that'll be an issue considering they're previously licensed in other state and things like that. They do want to open a sports book, so that'll be interesting to see what they do there. You know, Wild West has been extremely popular, and there's and the friggin' Bally's sports book has been extremely popular too. So those are two things that they won't have. I think during this whole process, we thought that somebody would go. You know, we've talked about this immensely about like when El Dorado comes in and the market would then kind of right size itself again in a way. Now it's not going to. Now we're going to stay kind of like pre-pandemic. If this will happen, we'd stay like kind of the same, like same size market. And it looks like we might post. Like, is that good for the long run?
It's you know what, I don't even want to wade into that water, right? Because
I'm jumping face first in.
I don't know what post COVID Atlantic City looks like, right? So we don't know if all nine casino properties are going to make it to the other end. I think in my gut, I don't think that that's going to happen, and that makes me stop and really say, you know, I don't know if this is good or bad, because we don't know what the other end of this looks like. Is that fair? I mean, I know I'm sort of hedging my bet there, but I don't.
I think it's like everything right now. Like, time is a flat circle. Every day is Wednesday or Thursday. Like, we just don't, like, we don't know what the end of this looks like. And, you know, I will say this, like, we talked a little bit this morning during one of our meetings about the price of the property. That's a steal.
Absolutely, it is.
Absolutely, it is. And front.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about, you know, the sale of the Taj to Hard Rock and what that price tag was, and the sale of what was then, I don't even know, can we call it former Revel? It was 10. I don't even know that it had a name.
It was never 10. Dyfick, it was never signed put up.
Yeah, when Bruce Dyfick bought Ocean, you know, that was around $120 million. Yeah, $25 million for Bally's. And remember, too, that's not just an oceanfront property. I mean, that's one of the originals, right? I mean, that has historical significance as well in Atlantic City, right? So, sometimes don't you get paid a little bit based on nostalgia? I guess not.
I don't know. I'm not answering that one.
There's no price tag on nostalgia, I guess. Okay.
Anything else regarding this? I think it's interesting to see how it plays out. I do think coming during this time period, it is still even more interesting to see how this plays out.
It is. It really is.
Don't know anything. Like, they could open tomorrow. They could open 5 weeks. We just don't know. And how many of them survive and all that kind of jazz. I think those are on the others. But you actually have something else. Our friends over at Ocean are finishing up their licensing process.
So they will be in front of the Casino Control Commission next month to get their plenary qualification to operate Ocean Casino. And this is sort of one of those wonky, you know, kind of regulatory steps that needs to be done. But this is interesting in the sense, and particularly now, again, timing is context, right? If you were to say, you know, hey, maybe Atlantic City doesn't have nine casinos at the end of COVID, some people might have suggested that Ocean would likely be one of those that didn't reopen. And I think this kind of counters that narrative a little bit, right? It's very clear that Luxor Capital for the time being is going to be a casino operator in Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't be going through this hassle and this process if they weren't going to open up on the other end of this, right? I mean, they would have pulled their application and said, you know what, guys, you know,
got their money back.
We'll find a buyer, you know, down the road. But right now, this just isn't worth it for us. They're saying the total opposite. They're saying we're all in. So I think that speaks very well for that property's future. Now, again, how long a hedge fund manager like Luxor wants to hold on to an asset that's not creating revenue is, you know, obviously the $1 million question here. But At least for right now, it looks like they're going to be one of the properties standing on the other end of this regardless. So that's got to be a good thing.
Any property standing at the end of this is a good thing. And I don't say that in jest. Like, I do think this market, we've talked about it already, this market's going to change in a way. And we just have, I think people have to figure out how it changes and what is the best way moving forward.
Oh, there's so many fun questions. And you know, I'll give a little bit of a preview. You know, we'll have a Sunday story kind of looking at one of these variables that's kind of up in the air. And that's the casino pilot and how that impacts Atlantic City's finances. And that's an interesting one to kind of unravel a little bit, peel back the onion layers on that one too. So Sunday's Atlantic City Press, you guys can read about that one.
Dave, as usual, stay safe.
You too, man. Good talking to you.
I'll see you
later.